You're listening to CGS Breakfast. Now, it's 7 weeks since the start of the uprising against the Libyan leader, Colonel Gaddafi. We're now moving into a third week of the UN imposed no-fly zone. Now, before the intervention from the West, many Libyans protested on the steps of the Senate of the UK to step in. 24 hours ago, NATO assumed command of all international air operations, a clear sign that the international community's role in the country is far from complete. But as the conflict progresses, what effect is it having on the Libyan community here in South Wales? Well, joining us now is Dr. Azouz, a member of Libyan community, and Adam Yohannes from the Cardiff Stop the War Coalition. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
And I believe we've got Dr. Azouz on the phone. Hello, can you hear me? Okay, well, slight technical glitch there, but we'll come back to him in a second. Firstly, Adam, your organisation, I imagine, are clearly opposed to international intervention in Libya. But do you not think it's impossible for the international community not to sit back and ignore what was going on?
Well, of course, the West has only one interest, and only one interest in Libya and the Middle East, which is, of course, its own interest. I think it would be quite revolting. It's revolting to me, and I think it's probably quite revolting to your listeners, James, to bear in mind that the country is now leading this charge of the Light Brigade into Libya, Britain, France, Italy, are of course the very same countries who sold the most arms in the world to Gaddafi to use against his own people. And I think it's quite important that we look at this within the regional context. At the same time as the West intervening in Libya, the West is also intervening in Bahrain. You're allowing the Gulf states to invade and crush democracy there. And I don't think it's a case that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. I think it's more a case that, you know, the intervention takes two forms in Libya, trying to subordinate and reorientate the revolution towards its own ends, towards Western interests, and allowing the revolution to be crushed in Bahrain.
I believe we've now got Dr. Azouz on the phone. Can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I hear you.
Hello. Good to have you on board. I hope you heard the end of what Adam was saying there. Now, I believe that you're in favour of the international involvement.
Absolutely.
Do you think that this intervention is necessary for a solution in your home country?
Definitely, yes.
What sort of things have you been hoping to achieve with this intervention?
Yes. Good morning, first of all, and thank you for allowing me to speak in the show. I would like to say, as I'm a Libyan doctor and just simply a Libyan, we have no alternative but to have intervention from the international community, which is supported well by the Arab League and supported well by UN resolution. And the alternative we have, if we have no intervention, the alternative to Libya will be further massacres when tens and thousands of people will die, as we've seen it already, and Muammar Gaddafi will be a dictator forever. And the intervention, what we hope for, is to weaken militarily and hopefully politically, as happened in the last couple of days, Muammar Gaddafi regime, and hopefully we move to a peaceful, democratic Libya.
Thank you very much. Adam, what would you say in response to that? I mean, clearly you are against the intervention.
Quite often we find that the West tends to be like the mother-in-law who says she's coming for the weekend and then staying for the next 10 years. And I think it's quite striking that in the first days of this insurrection, the rebels made many key demands on the West that could have shaped quite a different future that they refused to implement. For instance, they asked that the oil payments ended to Gaddafi and was instead made to the Transitional National Council in Benghazi. They asked that guns and weapons could be supplied. I mean, it's incredible that a month into this insurrection, when the rebels control key ports, they lack food, anti-tank and anti-aircraft weapons. And in fact, UN Resolution 1973 has imposed an arms embargo on the rebels. You know, in cities in the West, like Zawiya, people didn't stop fighting because they ran out of courage, but because they ran out of bullets. I think it's also quite worrying to hear openly taught the prospect of partition of Libya between a rump revolutionary government now beholden to the West in the east of the country, and perhaps even letting Gaddafi continue on his savage rule in the West, turning on the people who rose up in many cities in the West.
Dr. Azouz, obviously you can hear Mr. Yohannes speaking there. What would be your thoughts of the Cardiff community, the Libyan Cardiff community, and how they, how they want to see things progressing in Libya? Are they at all concerned as Adam says, that the West is getting far too involved, and that they're going to sort of